killing takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
PC Radio Live. Yeah, that's right. It's January 20th. It's 2021. No, 2022. Sorry, scratch that, folks. Don't listen to me. I never claim to be someone who necessarily got the date and time correct every single time. Actually, if you go back in time to some of the earlier episodes of this program, you'll notice I very clearly state, do not trust my opinion when I say the date and the time. So, but I have checked, it is January 20th, and it is, in fact, 2022, which means January 20th, it means we're 2 days away from playoff football, John, and I can't wait. I'm getting more and more excited, a little bit more anxious just to see these games, because, quite frankly, I think they're going to be pretty darn good. I mean, it went for the most part. I mean, you got some really good matchups, a pair rematches in the NFC. You have, I believe, the Bengals and the Titans. They did not meet this season, correct, John? I should have probably
right.
Checked.
They didn't meet. That's the only game this week that's not a rematch. The other
correct.
Ones
okay.
are. And really, to be honest with you, the Kansas City Buffalo game and the Tampa Rams game, they almost feel like conference championship games, right? Like before the season started, I don't think those may have been the matchups that more people pick than not. Obviously, Green Bay and Tennessee are one seeds, so they drew what is considered the worst of the lot, although San Francisco and Cincinnati are really good. But I think if we were ranking the teams right now, especially with the injuries that San Francisco is dealing with, that in some form we'd have, you know, San Francisco 7th and Cincinnati 8th. So if we were doing that. So, yeah, this should be fun. It's got to be better than last weekend, Ian. Those games were awful. I mean,
yeah.
I thought back to even the Monday night game. That didn't even feel like a playoff game, the Arizona Rams game. First of all, it was on Monday night, which I'm not – do we really need to do that? And then it just didn't feel like Arizona felt like it was a playoff game. They certainly didn't play like it was one. There were some bad games last week. Even the two close games, when you think about it, San Fran, Dallas, Cincinnati Raiders – there were a lot of nervous moments for those players. You know, Garoppolo throws that terrible interception. Dak kind of has a brain fart at the end of the game, or at least maybe even the coaching staff has a brain fart at the end of the game. And then Cincinnati and the Raiders kicked 8 field goals. It's like they get into the red zone and then not know what to do. So it was not good football last weekend, but I think this weekend will be much better, hopefully.
Well, the good thing is since it was wild card weekend, I think the excitement of just the what was happening, you know, the playoff start, and I think kind of, you know, it shielded us a little bit from noticing the bad football, although in some cases it was hard not to notice. Again, I hate to bring it up, but, you know, that Patriots Buffalo game was not what I expected. I mean, look, it happens in football. We talk about it all the time. That's the beauty of it. It's a one game thing. I don't, like, that's the thing. I don't come out of that game thinking, for example, the Patriots are as bad as they looked in that game. I think they had a bad game. There's no doubt about it. But that is not a team that goes out and gets blown out. It's just unfortunate that it happened in week 19 and not, you know, well, I guess it did kind of almost sort of happen earlier in the season, but not, obviously the Patriots were far more in it in that time. But yeah, that's the beauty of the one-game playoff is that, like, I mean, you don't even have to be, I mean, you just have to have a bad day. You know, even a bad half, and not only is your season over, but sometimes it just changes the trajectory of these games. So, like, you know, we go into these games thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And then, like, by the time the second quarter starting, you're like, oh, my God, that first quarter was so long. How am I going to watch 3 more quarters of this when it's obviously one-sided and certainly heading towards a very definite conclusion with a very definite outcome, rather. So I'm with you. I on paper, these games look pretty awesome. I mean, they should be awesome. I'd be surprised, again, if there's any blowout one way or the other. No, it's certainly possible. It's certainly possible. We saw, you know, we saw Buffalo handle the Chiefs earlier this season. I think both teams are better than what they were earlier in the season. I think the Chiefs obviously have made the biggest leap because of, you know, kind of just where they were at one point this year. However, I mean, it's not to say that Buffalo, I mean, you can argue that Buffalo is a better team. I would say pretty comfortably that they have a better defense. Their offenses are equally as explosive, and I think on any given series, any given play, Mahomes or Josh Allen could play the better position. You know what I mean? It wouldn't surprise me one bit if these two go back and forth. I don't think there's a massive difference between the two. We talked about it earlier in the season about Josh Allen. Well, what are your expectations? Well, I need to see it again is what I said. You know, like last year was great for him. He took a huge leap. But I was concerned, okay, what's going to happen in year four? Is he going to come back to the pack a little bit and maybe level out? And, you know, then we're like, okay, Josh Allen's a pretty good coach. No, I think he, despite even some of the struggles during the season, and there were struggles for him and the team, I think he matched and perhaps even exceeded his expectations. I think he's grown immensely as a quarterback and just a... On the surface, it feels like he makes way far better decisions than he's ever made. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. He's grown. He's grown as a player. The thing is, both of these quarterbacks, and I hate using these cliches, but sometimes it's the easiest thing to go to. They both have incredibly high ceilings. I mean, last weekend, right? I mean, Josh Allen was brilliant against the Patriots. Other than that interception, Mahomes was pretty darn good. And we're using that word darn again rather than dang. So, you know, we're headed in the right direction. Against Pittsburgh. But as far as their floors, I think that Mahomes' floor is higher than Allen's floor. Like, Allen has, like, really bad games. I tweeted out yesterday his passer rating chart. It's just, like, up, down, up, down, up, down. We know Brady and Rodgers is pretty much up, 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 maybe a little blip down, up, up, up. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so consistent. Mahomes does have his bad games as well. It's just that Allen's bad games are like, whoa, does this guy even know how to play the position? I think the big thing in this game is that Buffalo doesn't have Tre'Davious White. He got hurt late in the season. He's one of the very best cornerbacks in all of football. Mm-hmm. He was there for the first game. That may be something that Kansas City can try to take advantage of. But yeah, these are two teams that their defenses are getting better. They both have explosive offenses. You know, when you match up the wide receivers, that's pretty close. If we're going to put Kelce as a wide receiver, then maybe you give Kansas City the edge there. So this should be – this looks like the most appealing game of the weekend, right, doesn't it? Because it means a lot to both of these quarterbacks, especially Buffalo, which spent the entire offseason trying to figure out a way to beat Kansas City, which they did in the regular season.
Is it fair to say that despite, like I said before, I think Buffalo very clearly has the better defense, is it fair to say that – the Bills rely a lot more on or are far more dependent on Josh Allen than the Chiefs are Mahomes?
It's not a bad point, Ian, because he's essentially their running game as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that Kansas City has a great running game, but they can go there, you know, and they should have done it more in the Super Bowl when Tampa Bay was allowing 7 yards per rush, and for some reason Kansas City didn't want to take that. It could be, yeah, because I think, let's put it this way, Kansas City – I think can win Sunday with a good, not great performance from Patrick Mahomes. I think Buffalo needs a great performance from Josh Allen. If Josh Allen's only good on Sunday, I can't see Buffalo winning. So, yeah, to your point, he may be, of all the quarterbacks, Brady, Rodgers, all this, because he's their running game as well. You know, they're so dependent on him. No, I wouldn't push back on that.
Well, I thought that because I'm thinking, okay, to your point, like Mahomes can, and it, like we said yesterday, I mean, commenting on last week's game. I mean, hell, if you get a halfway competent team out there, the Chiefs at some point are likely playing from behind. Doesn't mean that they're going to lose, but you know, with Pittsburgh, it just didn't materialize the way it probably should have because they had plenty of opportunities early on. If Josh Allen is on his game, the Chiefs can't do that. They will fall behind and probably not win. But Josh, Josh has to be great. Like we both agree, I think, that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are two of the biggest difference makers, non-quarterbacks on offense, and what they can do on the football field and what they can create, which does, in a way, make Mahomes' life a little bit easier. No knock on Stephon Diggs. He's a hell of a receiver. I just get the impression that the Bills are just so more reliant on greatness from Josh Allen. despite having a better defense. I mean, there's no doubt that they have a better defense. But we just know how important the quarterback position is in this league, and Josh Allen is playing it at a very high level right now. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. That's gonna kick off or close out the weekend Sunday night. So, but before that, John, before that, we get a pair of matchups on Saturday. First, Bengals and Titans. That's usually kind of the kickoff game. Okay, you got Bengals and Titans. That should be pretty fun. Looks like Derrick Henry's gonna, you know, be back, which will be interesting. You know, perhaps you have Joe Mixon in there. So two of the very best running backs in the game. Obviously, you have talent. Tennessee offensively, AJ Brown, Julio Jones. Not quite the Julio Jones of old, but still Julio Jones. And then obviously on the flip side, Jamar Chase and so on and so forth. So that's going to be interesting. But of course, the big matchup Saturday night, John, is Mr. Tom Montana.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, Mr. Rogers. I almost said that, then I was like, no, I don't even want to call him Mr. Rogers.
Different spelling.
No D in there. And
a little bit of a different type of person. Could you picture a Mr. Rogers with Aaron Rodgers? Sipping scotch, you know, with his feet up, showing you his broken toe and, like, being cynical and judgmental.
That hasn't been an issue the last couple weeks, so just wait. You'll get a text from me the moment they start mentioning it. If he struggles a little bit on Saturday, they're going to start bringing it up. I guarantee you it's going to be like, oh, I wonder if that toe is bothering him. I'm like, get the hell out of here with that. Okay?
It's going to be 11 degrees. It's going to be 11 degrees to kick off everyone's toe. No one's going to feel their toes on Saturday night, which is good for the Packers because they're such a great cold weather team.
Yeah, I mean, for San Francisco, and look, this isn't a San Francisco team that's a high octane passing offense.
No.
So it's not necessarily going to impact them as much as, you know. Again, you go back to some of those old Peyton Manning offenses, you know, teams that obviously played a lot of warm and in-dome games, and all of a sudden the passing game just wasn't as sharp in the cold. Well, you know, San Francisco runs the ball, so they can certainly do that. Debo Samuel obviously is probably the biggest X factor in this game, maybe for both teams. Because if he becomes that game changer in this game, that's going to be tough for the because then I think the Packers obviously are going to be playing out of their comfort zone. And that could cause some problems. So it looks like Bosa, Warner, and Jimmy Garoppolo are obviously going to be healthy enough to play. They were out there practicing yesterday, I believe, and would likely be out there today, I would assume. But I think that's going to come down to the very end. I don't think this is going to be a one-sided affair either way. You know, maybe we get a couple lead changes in this, but I think this is going to be a pretty hopefully see your breath type of game. You know those games where you can see the highlights and all, you know, the linemen, you can just see in unison all the breath blowing out, you know, at the same time. And you know, that's what we're going to see. It's going to be cold, maybe low scoring. Maybe it's going to be a grinded out, slow. You know, we know how the Packers offense is very slow tempoed for the most part. You know, I think San Francisco is going to slow it down a little bit, obviously, because of the cold and the fact that they run the ball well. So I'm definitely eager to see that one. I'm glad.
Yeah, San Francisco's kind of built for cold weather, right? They're a physical team. They run the football. They can put pressure on the quarterback with four, right? I mean, Nick Bosa is a game changer. Mm-hmm. He's just a sensational player. I think he's even slightly better than his brother Joey, who's also a game changer. I mean, you know, the Bosa boys are both exceptional. So that's an issue. Rodgers 0-3 in his career against San Francisco in the playoffs, but two of those came earlier, you know, against Jim Harbaugh and that San Francisco team, which I think was better than this San Francisco team. It was just a deeper roster. I mean, they were really, really talented. The weather could be a factor. Also, Garoppolo's dealing with all sorts of injuries and dealing with a labrum, a shoulder, a wrist, the thumb. I think it's going to really impact him quite a bit. Not easy to throw the football in the cold weather.
It's
going to
make it that much more embarrassing when Rodgers and the Packers lose.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm setting up the excuses already.
Ian. Oh, I know. No, you've been laying those bricks since Sunday night.
Oh, man. It's like a pyramid with me. Yeah. But, no, I mean, look, and Green Bay's getting healthier at the right time. I don't know who's going to play of the missing stars. You know, is Jaire Alexander going to play? Is Za'Darius Smith going to play? Will Bakhtiari play? Josh Myers? I mean, those are four really stud players that have missed a lot of time this year. Are they going to play? Is Randall Cobb going to be out there to give Rodgers, you know, kind of his comfort zone slot guy that he likes to go to in big moments? I think the big difference in this game, why I think Green Bay is better equipped to go further this year, is A.J. Dillon. I mean, this is the type of game where Green Bay has a six-point lead late. They can pound the ball, run their four-minute offense, give it to A.J. Dillon, and he can wear down the opposition. And next thing you know, Rodgers is taking a knee at the end of the game, and they win 23-17 or whatever the hell the score might be, 30-24. That type of game. They didn't have that in the past. I think A.J. Dillon is a huge factor for this team, especially playing in front.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he's been a huge factor for this team the entire season. You know, we kind of joke back and forth because of the two quarterbacks that we like and everything like that. But, you know, the reality of it is I do believe that, you know, this Packers team, and I've said it for weeks, that they're probably the most well-rounded team. I mean, they have a really good running game. They have a really good, pretty much everything top to bottom, you know, when it comes to balance and everything like that. You look at a team like the Bucks where, you know, look, it's very pass heavy, which works because you have Brady, but, you know, again, right, that still doesn't mean that you're not missing a dimension to your offense, which is a consistent running game. Now that will probably strengthen a little bit with Leonard Fournette, but, you know, to your point, AJ Dillon, and then you add in Aaron Jones, who was a Pro Bowler last year, and it's like, you know, you got a pretty dynamic duo that, you know, on top of being able to run the ball, can catch and run. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, how San Francisco tries to combat that, because, I mean, if it is cold like that, maybe you do see a more A.J. Dillon-centric game and a clock control game, because, well, that's how the Packers win a lot of games. It's a grinding out.
Oh, absolutely.
Out. I mean,
I love it. So, look, yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, no one's knocking. I mean, there's a reason why, again, I mean, they were, you know, borderline top 10 when it comes to offenses. It's not that they didn't score. I mean, they scored a decent amount, but they also controlled the clock a lot. They ran a lot of slow, down-tempo type offense. So you might see that quite a bit, and primarily maybe running through a guy like A.J. Dillon in this cold. So,
well, see, I just don't want to see what happened 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game where San Francisco ran for over 300 yards. I mean, you can't do that in the NFL. You can't have that happen against you in the NFL. It's emasculating, right? An 80-yard touchdown pass is like, wow, that was pretty spectacular. Joe Burrow hit Jamar Chase. They're both awesome. Tip your cap. I mean, when a team goes down the field, 8-9 plays, 80 yards, all on the ground, and they're just pounding the hell out of you, that's emasculating. That's what happened to the Packers 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game. I think their run defense is better than it was then. Geez, I hope it is. It's not great, but it should be good enough. And again, if Green Bay can play from in front, then that also helps matters, because now you're putting the ball in Jimmy G's hands, and he's prone for one or two turnovers, especially with all these injuries he's dealing with. So that's a big part of it as well. The problem is Green Bay's gotten off to a lot of slow starts this year, a lot of slow starts. They're constantly down 7-0. Their offense takes a couple of series to get going, and next thing you know, we're into the second quarter. But I think if they can play from in front, that put a lot of pressure on Jimmy G and give Green Bay a much better chance to win this game.
And, you know, look, and Kyle brings up, you know, maybe we're on the same track here. He said, you know, on the Packers, FPC, Full Press Packers podcast, that they asked the question, should it be a more run-heavy or pass-happy approach? And look, I think part of, you know, the weather does dictate it a little bit, but, you know, the Packers aren't afraid to slow it down and just, again, control the clock. And to your point, John, if they fall behind, you know, they're a much better team playing from ahead. I mean, I think we all agree there. I mean, we're not that they have too many opportunities to come from behind and prove me wrong, but, you know, the point is like, I think they're just a far better team with a lead. If they fall behind a couple scores, if they fall behind 7-0, I'm not too concerned about that. But if the slow start is extends long enough for San Francisco to jump ahead 10 or 14 points, I'd start to panic, because I don't necessarily know. I mean, you're basically, and it's not necessarily a bad thing to rely on, but you're basically relying on Jimmy Garoppolo to make a mistake. Now, it's certainly possible that he could, but you don't want your fate in the hands of a potential mistake from someone else. You want to be able to control your own destiny, so to speak. And I think if the Packers do fall behind, that's going to be a far more difficult thing to achieve. So, the Packers need a strong start. I know it really obviously they're 13-4 this season, so it hasn't necessarily hurt them too much in the past, but I do think there's something about falling behind early in a playoff game, especially your first playoff game, John. Don't forget that they were off last week. And then all of a sudden, you begin to press. Like, in the regular season, you fall behind. It's like, all right, whatever. You know, worst case scenario, we lose, and, you know, I'll be, you know, whatever. Next week, it won't even matter. It's the playoffs, and if you fall behind, sometimes you press a little bit more, and you kind of get on your toes a little bit more. So, and like I said, the one disadvantage of having the bye, I mean, there's not many. The one disadvantage is sometimes that week off and that lack of playoff intensity against a team that is coming off a game with a lot of playoff intensity can sometimes catch that team sleeping a little bit, and that could spell doom for the Packers. But I won't
and
give
times,
away my pick
at
right
times,
away.
At times with Matt LaFleur's team, and look, I think he's done a sensational job. I mean, he's not going to get the credit he deserves because he's got an all-time great quarterback, and you know, sometimes we forget that they actually have a football coach who's won 39 games in 3 years, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But one of the negatives has been they don't come out of bye weeks all that good. I mean, like, Andy Reid's notorious for coming out of a bye week and having his team, like, ready to play. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, Belichick's really not that great out of a bye week. I mean, we saw it this year when they had the bye week and lost to the Colts and looked flat and really never kind of recovered
from
that.
They used to be well.
Like,
yeah, in their early run. But like,
well, it's number 12 there.
Yeah, well,
takes care of a lot of those problems. But LaFleur's been a little bit off on the bye weeks. Now, you know, give some blame to the players. I mean, you got to be ready to play. I mean, how much can you just blame the coach? But I think they'll be good. I like the way they handled week 18 by playing their starters, you know, half the game, so they didn't have another week off because they didn't need to win that final game. They'd already clinched the one seed, so that was handled, I think, properly. They didn't sustain any injuries of note, so that's good. And again, the home field advantage is huge, especially this year when there's going to be 80,000 people in the stands. Mm-hmm. That's a tough place to play. Although, my guy is only 5-3 at home in the playoffs, which, you know, is another black mark against him. You know, he lost to San Francisco in a game back in 2013. He lost to the Giants in 2011 when they were 15-1, and of course, last year in the NFC Championship game against Tampa. Up until Michael Vick beat Brett Favre in 2002, Green Bay had never lost a home playoff game. In the history of their franchise, because, first of all, you know, for a lot of those years, they had the best team, the best coach, and Vince Lombardi. So, yeah, they won. But really, since Michael Vick, he kind of broke through. And let's not forget, Favre lost the NFC Championship game in 07 to the Giants. That looked like that was going to be an easy win for Packers. I mean, I was getting ready for Packers-Patriots Super Bowl, and the Giants crashed the party. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so that the home field advantage is great, but, you know, you got to take advantage of it, and you got to get ahead. Well, and that's the important thing.
And you know, kind of to pile on a little bit here, but what, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers, he's facing a lot of pressure, both, you
the
know,
most.
Obviously normal.
Oh, the most.
Yeah, I mean, obviously normal every year playoff pressure, but personal pressure, because they're supposed to win. I mean, hell, you could have made a case that they were supposed to win last year, but that didn't happen.
Oh, absolutely,
and to your
I will.
Point, yep. Yeah, and to your point, like, I mean, no one has more to gain for their own personal legacy than Aaron Rodgers. I know people, we're starting to get into that territory now where people will, you know, just unnecessarily start, like, elevating him over guys like Peyton and Montana, but which is a bit absurd, but the point is, like, he can gain a lot personally. You know, obviously he can gain on those two players. I don't think he necessarily gains much on, you know, the trying to chase Tom Brady thing, that book is
forget
closed.
That. Yeah, that's like me chasing, yeah. Chasing, you know, I'm going to be built like The Rock next month. I mean, that's not going to happen, you know. I'm working on it, but it's not going to happen.
You can certainly eat like The Rock. I mean, let's put it that way. You ever see some of his cheat day meals? I mean,
oh,
it's pretty
man.
Impressive.
Oh, man. Or Michael Phelps. I was on the Michael Phelps diet for a while.
Just not the exercise routine.
But no one told me that I had to, you know, also work out 18 hours a day. I was like, oh, I forgot that part. Yeah, no, forget that one. And even Montana's tough to catch with the four Super Bowls. And where Rodgers can be, and we've talked about this before, is I think he's the fifth greatest quarterback of the Super Bowl era. But he's behind Peyton, Manning, who I have third, and John Elway, who I have fourth. They're in their own category. Rodgers is at the head of the next group. He can kind of kick his way into that group because they'll all have two Super Bowls. Now, Elway went to five of them, which is pretty remarkable considering he didn't always have really great teams. When he finally had a running game and a defense, he won back-to-back Super Bowls. And Peyton has two, and he went to four. And, you know, Rodgers would still be number five, but at least he'd be in that class. He's got more pressure than anyone, Ian. I don't even think it's close. I mean, I know we hear about Matt Stafford, but Matt Stafford's never put up there with the all-time great quarterbacks. And finally, he had a playoff win on Monday night, so that's all well and good. Brady's facing no pressure. Like I said before, Brady could go out Sunday and throw the ball left-handed and throw five picks and probably still win the game. Well, what's the matter? Seven or eight? That's the amazing
thing about how, you know, micro commentary on individual seasons in a vacuum. You know, mm-hmm. how the discourse, the conversations we have, the proclamations we make. I mean, You wouldn't believe that Tom Brady didn't have any pressure if you listen to some of the people that talk. And it's like, you know how many times or how many years that we get some version of, well, if he does this, I mean, what can you say anymore? I mean, we've said that for what, 5 years now?
And after Atlanta, I got there. Even after Seattle, to be honest with you. Once he won his fourth Super Bowl, I was like, okay, he's got as many as Montana, and he also went two more times, and he's had a longer career, and he's better. Like, at that point, I'm like, that's good enough for me.
Well, so, you know, the point is that, you know, in 5 years, or like, you know, when we come out of this drunken stupor that we're all in, me, you, Rodgers fans, Mahomes fans, when we wake up, you know, it's like that Seinfeld bit, you know, before one of the episodes where you just kind of wake up one day, like the first week of January, and you just realize that there's a damn tree in your house, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? You know, get that the hell out of here. Well, that's what I think we're going to do, where it's like you kind of wake up out of that stupor. Maybe Rodgers and Brady have retired. And you're like, how did we ever try to put these two historically next to each other? And that's not an insult to either one of them, certainly not to Rodgers, but like it's ridiculous that the discourse during their playing career was, can Aaron Rodgers chase Tom Brady, or is he the GOAT? He's the most talented, or like parse any sort of title that you want. I mean, I've seen most gifted, most talented. We talked about quote unquote arm talent yesterday or the other day, so.
I'll go back to 2014, though. At that moment, he wins another MVP. The Packers, to me, were the best team in football in 2014. You remember that regular season game against the Patriots, 26-21, mm-hmm. Green Bay at Lambeau, which to me was one of the best regular season games I've ever seen. The both quarterbacks were just, like, obviously mm-hmm. great. It was just a fantastic game. Lambeau, the Patriots, you know, both were coming in with winning streaks, and it was a fantastic game. At that moment, I said, it's his year to win the Super Bowl. And then he plays like crap against Seattle in the NFC Championship game. They can't recover an onside kick. He should have put the game away long before that wouldn't have even been a factor. You know, if he gets to the Super Bowl and beats Brady at that moment, now it's 3-2 and one guy defending. And that's when it was there. But once Brady got to four, and then Rodgers has never gone back to the Super Bowl. And again, I know it's a team sport, but quarterbacks get credit for wins and blame for losses. At that point, it's like, he can't catch him. That's ridiculous. No one can catch him. This is ridiculous. Well, going into last weekend, he had more wins or as many wins as the other 13 quarterbacks combined. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is he is the greatest athlete in American team sports history. I will make that case. Now, if he wins again this year, that makes it even more ridiculous.
Well,
he's that great.
Well, we get. Every single year, we get the discussion. Who, you know, last year was even more absurd because I think at one point someone put Tom Brady like seventh on the list of playoff quarterbacks entering the playoffs last year. I can't remember. It was probably like it was probably like Chris Sims or something.
It had to be Chris Sims, or something stupid, one of those guys.
Actually, it might have been Nick Wright. Now that I think about
it. My guy. Every year
the question comes up, and it's always like, well, which quarterback do you trust most in the playoffs? And it's like, it's Brady, Rodgers, who, blah blah blah, whoever. And it's always like, yeah, I know what Brady's done, but this is the year. And I'm just like, rinse, repeat. Every single
year. What are you watching?
Exactly. Like, look, again, this has nothing to do. This isn't an indictment on Aaron Rodgers. This is more of just the absolute respect and admiration for what Brady has done, and not just done in the past, but it's currently doing. So, like, you know, those conversations are always silly. And I think when we look back in the offseason, like I said, when you come out of that season drunken stupor, and in this case, this is just like a generational long drunken stupor, because, you know, the discourse on quarterbacks has just been absolute. I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, you talk about a passer rating chart. I think we showed Carson Wentz, or saw Carson Wentz's few weeks back, and it was literally up, down, up, down, up, down. That's where we're at when it comes to quarterback discussions, because it's very simple in my mind. I think we overly complicate these things. But at the end of the day, it's quite simple. We know to kind of steal something from Nick Wright, if an alien came down from another planet, okay? I'm not gonna go any further than what he did, because the rest of his point was stupid. Mine is actually, I think, pretty good. But if someone came down and you explained to them the basic concept of football to the point where they understand the goals, the objective, the basic history of the game, and you laid out stats and information based on, you know, and you got to assume that there was some visual aspect to them learning about this game. You gotta suspend disbelief a little bit here, John. But anyways, you explain someone to that. You lay out the case for these players. 10 out of 10 people, if you found 10 of them, would pick Tom Brady, because the case is so blatantly obvious. And again, that's not an insult to any other player. It's just it's obvious. But you know, we're now to the point where we're talking about, well, this person's on pace to be the GOAT. Well, he's the most accomplished, but he's, you know, not the most talented, but he's the most talented thrower, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, guys, stop. Because I can't remember who said it on Twitter. I saw it just the other day, and I've actually thought about this before. You know, realize what you're doing when you say that Tom Brady is never the most talented, but somehow still beats all your players. What you're saying is a worse quarterback is somehow outperforming your all-world, you know, most talented arm throw. So it's really ironic when we think about it.
That's the whole thing, is that he's a system quarterback, and I would always push back and say, well, then everybody else should start using that system, because it's a pretty good system. Then if that's the case, no, it's the quarterback that's the system, and you couldn't do anything with him. No, we're watching Babe Ruth, we're watching Bill Russell, Michael Jordan. Pick every great guy that we have ever talked about. Muhammad Ali, well, that's an individual sport. But in terms of team sport, I mean, he's winning, and he's won at a level that's like close to Bill Russell's, yet doing it kind of as the Michael Jordan of the sport, but also having the longevity of LeBron James. So I just picked like the three greatest players in the history of basketball, and Tom Brady's done something similar to all three. Like, how much more do you need than that? And like, one of my favorite things to say is, if he wins this year, which I hope he doesn't, by the way, because, you know, my guy needs a second Super Bowl. well, here's the thing, Ian. Even last year, we were talking about, well, of course you are. And I just want number two. I mean, he's only got 7. So, but last year, when it got to the NFC Championship game, I'm like, everything's set up for Green Bay. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a warm weather team. And I'm like, there's only one reason I fear it, is because of him. That's the only reason I fear it. And again, this year, if they meet in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau again, I'm going to be like, they should win, but that other guy's over there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all of that stuff is interesting. But my favorite thing is, like I've said, Gretzky or Lemieux, the three greatest hockey players of all time, won 8 Stanley Cups. This guy would tie them.
I would enjoy
Lombardi
that.
Trophy. But that just shows you, and like, we're talking about the three greatest hockey players of all time, right? And then this guy's won as many championships as those, in a sport where it's one and done too. Like, you have a bad day, you lose. And they did against the Jets in 2010. They did against the Ravens in 2009. That happens.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it isn't. That's,
I don't know what people are fighting. It's just, to me, just enjoy the damn thing. I mean, if this could be his last year, I doubt it. He seems like he, you know, still enjoys what he's doing.
Well, and you know, to that point, to the pressure point. So yeah, he has internal pressure. Like, he has pressure on. He's always, that's just what drives him. He's, you know, he's not facing pressure. But and before, you know, to close the show out, I'll ask you, does the pressure get to Aaron Rodgers? Because I know we believe, and, well, we know, we don't believe it, we know it. Tom Brady can handle the pressure. It doesn't matter what you throw at him. He's going to be able to handle it. We've seen him do it for 20 years. Can Aaron Rodgers, and in this case, you know, compounded by the fact that, you know, again, he's late in his career and there's a lot of pressure for him to reach what many believe is what he's supposed to do. And that's a lot of pressure for him on top of the normal playoff pressure. So I'll ask you this to close out the show. Are you worried about that? And can that actually play a role in how he plays in this game?
Absolutely. Because I think with him, he overanalyzes things. I think that's one of his weaknesses. I think Peyton Manning also did that from time to time. And I think LeBron James does that from time to time. I think what Brady does better than anyone, kind of like Jordan did it, is they have like this tunnel vision. Right, where it's just with Brady, it's like the next play. Okay, 8 yard gain. Okay, let's get to the huddle. Let's get a good play. Let's get a 6 yard gain. And next thing you know, he trusts the process. I think Rodgers, if there's a bad play early in the game, he overanalyzes it to the point where it kind of cripples him a little bit. I don't think he chokes. I think he likes the pressure, but I think sometimes he overanalyzes it, and you know, paralysis through analysis can sometimes get in the way of him. I think he's best when he just goes out and plays and looks like he's having a good time and, you know, lets the talent take over and is, you know, obviously he's got great football acumen. I mean, this is not Jay Cutler or any other quarterback that looked like they didn't care. I think he's a very competitive guy. All of that stuff is there. I just think sometimes he overanalyzes. And, yeah, there's going to be some internal pressures. Like, isn't it – all we hear from athletes is muscle memory. Well, Tom Brady's muscle memory is going to the Super Bowl and winning it, and yeah. Aaron Rodgers' muscle memory is going to the NFC Championship game and losing it. So it's kind of LeBron went to 8 straight finals. That was in his mind, like I'm supposed to be there. You know.
Well, let's put it this way: it's been since the 2012-2013 season that Tom Brady's gone more than a season without going to a Super Bowl. And we know it's obviously, you know, if they go or not this year, you know, they went last year, so the streak will continue into next year. But think about that. Over the span of over a decade, he hasn't gone more than 2 years without going to the Super Bowl. That's absurd.
Crazy.
So,
crazy. No, all this stuff is just like, that's why when people push back, I'm like, what? Sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer.
Well, that's what, like, yeah, just, exactly. See, yeah. It full
Let's
circle.
Not
that was the moral.
Things.
That was the moral of the program. That's what we set out to
like
prove
that.
Today. Yeah, yeah. That. Guess what? Sometimes the easy answer is the right one, and I think
it's almost like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood,
yeah,
right? I have my slippers on too, so
yeah,
you know, I'm not wearing a tie with a. I'm not wearing a tie with a sweater, and I don't have tutu trains running around my house. But you know, pretty similar.
Maybe I should go dig my Christmas decorations out for one more time and get that train going. But so tomorrow, obviously Friday, we're going to close out the week, and we're going to save all of our picks for then. We're going to pick both of Saturday's games, including this Green Bay one, and of course Sunday's as well. So join us tomorrow as we focus more, maybe a little bit more, on those Sunday games, and then of course. We will break down all the score predictions that we have rattling around in our brain, because quite frankly, I'm not quite decided yet on a couple of them. So, but anyways, give us a follow, FPC Radio Live on Twitter, and then of course, at Full Press Coverage on Facebook, and wherever you, you know, find information, websites, we're there. You'll find us. Just search Full Press Coverage and it'll pop up. So have a great day, folks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.